read a story written by Mary Ann Martin. She wrote a book called I Was Ashamed of My Daddy. In her book, she mentioned one time that during the depression, economic depression time, her father lost his job. They were a well-to-do family, but because of the economic downturn, his business go bankrupt. So he had to find another job to support the family, to buy food, and pay the mortgage, so on and so forth. So he found another job. And not long after he worked in another job, he got laid off. So now he comes to a dead end. He had to find another job that he didn't want, but that because he needed to support the family. So finally, God prepared him a job to work in a school as a janitor. So the family, even though after this economic downturn, they go together, they support each other, and everything seems to be fine. Until one day, his daughter, which is Anne Mary, or Mary Ann Martin, finished the elementary school and went to junior high school. Junior high school is basically from grade 7 to 9. So she went to that school and then studied there. Not too long after that, then one day she was eating a lunch by the cafeteria. The speaker says that announced that over somewhere in the cafeteria is a mess. Someone fell, dropped in the tray with all the food. And the food, the drink is all over the place. And they announced that so-and-so, please go to clean up. One of the students of friend of Mary Ann heard the name and then turned to Mary Ann and says, oh, this person has the same last name as yours. Do you know this guy? Mary Ann hesitantly looked at him and then says, no, I never knew this man. I don't know what you think. You know, if you read this story and then you think, oh, this girl, how can she do that? How can she deny her loving father? But if you look at this passage that we just read, it's almost the same kind of incident happened with the greatest apostle. Why? Why people would deny something that he treasured, or why people would deny someone that he followed? This is a story that we're going to look at today. And also, I also want to look at how Jesus is triumphant over Peter's denial. If you look at the four Gospels, in the four Gospels, every single Gospel recorded the denial of Peter. It's very significant because you know that, well, some of you may agree, some of you may not, but a lot of you know that the first gospel was written by Mark, right? And you know where Mark got his source? Well, you know, the gospel, the day-to-day life of Jesus and the apostles. look at this passage, I want to look at it from another angle, not focusing on Peter's denial. Why? Because we all know Peter's denial. If you are in the church for maybe a couple of years and have gone through one of the Gospels and have attended Passover week, where the Good Friday and then the Sunday Easter, probably in one occasion or the other, you have heard about this story. And most of the time when we look at this story, we focus on Peter's fall, his denial. But today I want us to focus the other side of the story, and which is also Luke wants us to look at. Because in the four Gospels, only the book of Luke has mentioned about what Jesus did before and after his denial. It's simply addressing the denial, what he has prepared for Peter. If you look at the context of the passage, you will know that before the denial, there was some kind of quarrel before Jesus mentioned that Peter, you would deny. The quarrel is about who is the greatest among the disciples. And right after that, you will see that Peter mentioned that I will even die for you. I will even go to jail with you. And I will never forsake you. I will never deny you. If you look at Mark chapter 14, it is even more interesting that Peter actually says that even everybody deny you, I will not. So it looks as if they have some kind of competition, some kind of show off kind of thing, that who is the greatest? I'm better than you. But you know what? Because they have this kind of attitude. That's why God, Jesus, told Peter, you will deny me. Now if you look at the passage, especially how Jesus predicted Peter's denial, is very, very interesting. Because at the beginning, you will see that Jesus actually predicted the denial by telling him that your fall has another significant influence, which is Satan. Which is Satan. Satan actually is the one in the background make you fall. I think this is very significant because when we look at people's failure, we always concentrate on the act itself. We do not actually, or we seldom look at the things, the influence, what happened in the background. Satan, we know that Satan, we know that he's trying to devour all the Christians. He's trying to make you against God. But you know that? If you look at this, the first verse, verse 31, you will see a significant insight or you will see something that is very outstanding. That is that Jesus has to ask the permission of, the Satan has to ask the permission from Jesus in order to tempt Peter. Therefore, we know that there's nothing escaping from Jesus. Jesus knows better. Jesus knows better the scheme of Satan. Because Satan has to ask permission from when you look at the denial of the conversation between Peter and Jesus, you will also see something very special. Jesus predicted and told Peter, saying that he would deny me. And Peter says, no. I will go to the prison. I will die for you. I will never deny you. You know what? Peter responds as two problems. The first problem is that Peter thinks he knows better than Jesus. Isn't it? Because Peter says, oh no, I wouldn't do that. You must be mistaken. You must be mistaken. Doesn't know himself well. If he know himself, if he know about himself, if he know he will be scared when his expectation is not met, when he is under certain pressure, he will act irrationally. He doesn't know about what is going to happen. Jesus knows better. Jesus knows Satan's scheme. And Jesus knows Peter entirely. Because the Bible says that we are wonderfully made by God. You know that? A lot of times we think we know better than someone. No, we trust God. We know the Bible says that God knows everything. But when we have tribulation, when we have worry, when we don't know what decision to make, then we do a lot of calculation. And we start to use our own strength, use our own wisdom, use our own logic to determine what should. What should we do? What should we do? What causes should we do? Do we trust God? Are we willing to trust God that even something happened or the Bible says something that's against our own understanding? Peter, he thinks he knows better. Jesus actually knows better. Every one of us, one time or the other, will fall. Not fall from grace, but fall in our human nature. Because we're human. Because we're not perfect. Because we're still living in this world. So don't be surprised. Don't be surprised you will fall. And don't be surprised your brother, your sisters will fall. Okay? But when we fall, or when we look at somebody else fall, we should always look at from the spiritual perspective. Front Street on 42nd Street. He will go up to another street and run about going to his workplace. Yeah, he has fallen because of his human nature, but he raised up, he came back to God, and God accepted him, gave him the courage to continue to work in that place. But he sacrificed the inconvenience as to walk a different path, which takes another 10 minutes of his time to get to work and come back home. The point of the story is that don't underestimate Satan's scheme, but Jesus knows better. The second thing I want everybody to look at is that Satan intended to cause him to fall, but Jesus intends better. Jesus' intention is better than Satan. Much more superior. If you look at verse 32, Jesus said, "When you turn again, strengthen your brothers." Satan, his scheme is to destroy your relationship with God and with people. Jesus allowed Satan to carry out his plan. Yet, Jesus' intention is for you to return and strengthen your brothers and sisters. With this intention, Jesus prayed for Peter. Jesus prayed for Peter so that he will return. Jesus prayed for Peter so that when he returned, he can strengthen brothers and sisters. Jesus intends better. If you look at this passage, you also realize that Jesus says he prayed for Peter. It's a past tense. Jesus has already prayed. In other words, before Peter entered into temptation, before Peter even says he will deny Jesus, Jesus had already prayed. But Jesus allowed that to happen so that Jesus can accomplish his good intentions for us. A lot of times we pray certain things, especially we pray when we saw somebody who fall, we pray that they will return, which is very, very good. But then we should also pray that not only they will return, but also we pray God's will be done on him, so that when he returns, it will be good for them. Jesus had done that. I wonder what Jesus prayed for Peter. Jesus' prayers, we can actually see in the four Gospels. Jesus prayed a lot of times, but what he's praying for is not that many times. The lengthiest one, the longest one, is in John chapter 14:17. And if you look at what Jesus prayed for the disciple, you can see that Jesus prayed three things. If you look at John 17:11, 15, and 17, verse 11, 15, and verse 17. Jesus prayed three things for the disciple. One is that in 11, that they may be one even as we are. The second thing Jesus prayed for the disciples is that to keep them from the evil one. The third thing that Jesus prayed for the disciples is sanctify them in the truth. When I look at these three items that Jesus prayed for the disciples, I can actually see that all applicable to Peter's call. Jesus prayed for Peter and for all the disciples so that they will be one even as we are. We are meaning that God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. Why Jesus prayed this prayer? I just mentioned at the beginning that before the fall, in the context, they were actually among them, you know, trying to figure out who is the greatest. They started dissension inside the group. Jesus knew all these things before they even spoke. Jesus prayed for them. Jesus prayed for them so that they will be united. They don't need to be like that to fight each other and try to be the greatest. This is why Jesus allowed Peter to fall. Why? Because Peter is considered the leader of the group. Peter is the outspoken person. He tried to assert his leadership. If you look at Mark 14, it's very clear that they were competing for a leadership role. They were competing who is the greatest. They were competing who is more loyal to Jesus. That's why Jesus said, that's why Peter said, even they will deny you. I will never deny you. You see that? And Jesus used that to teach Peter the lesson. You will deny me three times. You think you're the greatest? You think you're better than others? Let Satan show you. I let were Peter, I would tell myself, you're really stupid. You know, Jesus already told you that you will deny me. And Jesus already told you you will deny me 3 times. And then now, the first time I denied, Jesus. Immediately, I would have thought, well, no, Peter is not stubborn. Peter at that point in time is very afraid. He's afraid of being in a shameful way because his master is actually under persecution. His master is actually being questioned. His master is being tortured. Is he afraid of Peter? No, I mean, of Jesus? I don't think so, but at that point in time, doesn't have the nerve, doesn't have the gut to admit he's become Jesus. Sometimes when we are under pressure, we act illogically. I wonder, do we give the benefit of the doubt to our brother and sister when our brother and sister sin or fall? Do we give the benefit of the doubt? Those people who pointed out Jesus, I mean, pointed out Peter, he denied Jesus. But Jesus did not use those three people to restore Peter. But Jesus did not use those three people through the condemnation of Peter to ask Peter to return. What did Jesus do? Jesus used a whisper in human. Not a human. It's not human. I don't even know if the whisper has any brain at all. I'm not a biologist. But in any case, Jesus used a whisper. All she does is, but all he does is quote, just like that. You think you can change somebody? You think you point out somebody's fault, then that is good enough that he will repent? The more you point out somebody's fault, the more resentment you will create. You know that? But Jesus just feels a whisper. Thank you. just like those three girls, three girls who, different gospel says that not everybody is girl, not all three of them are girls. But in any case, sometimes we need to let God. Once the issue has been brought out, the one who should be used like a booster to arouse whoever's oppressing him. Jesus confronts them because we know how inappropriate. Jesus confronts them because Jesus' words is the most powerful force. Only that Jesus not only confronts them, he also restores them. Come on, let your heart be confessed. So, I prepare a lot of Bible verses. I didn't even quote them. I have 12 Bible verses. I didn't even quote them. But you know what I said, all paper. Now, if you look at one particular thing, I'm very, very surprised when I look at it. If you look at chapter 22, verse 31 and 32, which is the prediction of Peter's denial, continue to look at until verse 34. Verse 34, Jesus says, I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied three times that you know me. Jesus says that the rooster will not crow today until you have denied three times that you know me. Now turn your Bible to Peter's response when he remembered what God said to him, what Jesus said to him. In verse 61, the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him. Remember, Peter now is trying to remember what Jesus told him. What he says here. Before a rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. Yeah, is the same statement? Yeah? No? Okay, I'm doing this one. It's not a trick question, but if you look at the Bible, especially in the NASB and ESV, that's why I like to look at those two versions, they're more expressive in terms of express the original meaning of the text. If you look at these two verses, right, the one that Jesus spoke and the one that Peter remembered, they are different. They're different in emphasis. They're different in emphasis. What Jesus said is that Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied. The rooster will not crow. This is the emphasis. Until you have denied. Now you look at what Peter remembered. Peter remembers says that before the rooster crow today, you will deny me three times. The emphasis is on the denial. Do you see that? Now let me explain that a little bit more by example. Everybody know at home we have a rough time, roughly where we can eat dinner, right? You know, probably like 6:30, 7, like usually, you know, just like that they know when the rooster will crow, right? So now I say, son, have to finish all your homework before dinner. What does that mean? That means before 6:30, you need to finish all your dinner. Yeah? Right? Because you know when we eat dinner, isn't it? Now, when you flip the other side, I say, son, you have to finish all your dinner. You have to finish all your homework before we eat dinner. What's the difference? The difference is that if you don't finish your homework, we will not eat dinner. So the time is not fixed, right? The first one, the time is already fixed. You have to finish all this by the dinner time, which is 6:30 or so. The second one is that you cannot eat dinner until you finish. This potentially is another miracle. This potentially is another miracle. Why? Because when Jesus predicted, he did not predict when the three denials would complete. Did he? No. He predicted before the rooster crowed. That is a variable. The rooster will crow, but the time becomes less. In other words, Peter's denials those 3 times could last more than 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. Now, if Peter's denials takes more than the time that normal, somebody's fault, when the church has offended us, or when myself fall, we give our time a timing when someone should return, when we should see the church become united. We have created a time frame. When Jesus predicted the denial, Jesus did not give a time frame when those 3 were complete. Until the 3 denials complete, Peter has not been restored. I don't know if our trials in the church has already completed or not. I hope it is. But what if it's not? What about yourself? If I fall, I would say, how come I fall again? How many times I fall? I'm so disappointed.